Hey, welcome to Guitar Knobs, the guitars, gear, noise, and nonsense podcast, hosted today by
these knobs.
Tony Dudzik, Pick Guardian.
Hey everybody, it's me, Todd Ovak. Welcome to the Guitar Knobs podcast. We're thrilled to death you're listening to our show. Minus Robsky. He said he ate something that didn't agree with him. And, I guess we just have to believe that, don't we?
Believe him.
You do?
I think he's very honest.
He is pretty honest.
You know?
Yeah. He's very honest.
Yes.
He's not pretty honest. So he's not feeling well, unfortunately. So we are missing Rob tonight. He was going to delight us with all his positive affects about all the gear he loves. But better yet, instead of Rob filling in the blank, we've got a special guest tonight. Special guest, who are you?
I'm Aki Stromer from Stromer Mutronics.
All right. And you are, you're from Mexico City?
Something like that. I think so.
Yes.
Gothenburg, Sweden. Göteborg, Sverige. Yeah.
Well, yes. So, two, please.
That's like, is that the proof?
Hold the onions.
Is that a fish dish?
Yeah. Everything's a fish dish.
He beat me to it. Anyways, yeah, so we've got a Swede in the house, and I'm excited about that. He and I already exchanged all the, I have a lot of lineage over there, and which means nothing to him at all.
I love Swedish meatballs.
Yes, yes.
I love Columbus.
Look at all the love in the house.
There's love. We're just full of love.
Yes.
Thank goodness Rob isn't here.
I know. Old moaning Rob dragging everybody down. Anyways, we're going to have a great time. I vetted Ake before to make sure that he was a
real person.
A real person with a good sense of humor.
And that is
in fact true. So we're going to have some laughs too.
Nice.
I just want to make an announcement really quick. Now, you probably heard this from the one I just dropped, but I'm going to reiterate this because this is a big deal.
Big.
We're giving away
100.
An entire box
100
full
boxes of
not 100, an entire box full of warm audio pedals.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you might say, well, what is a box full like, man? This box contains the Warm Blender,
yep,
which is their take on the famous,
Tone Bender.
Thank you. I was getting there. I'm looking up
Bone Tender, which
is Bone Tender. That was my name for it. But they've done some really cool stuff with this. This pedal sounds absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you got some cool options.
The Ringer Bringer,
yes,
which is a full size version of the Mooger Fooger.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah,
we'll just say that. The Odd Box, which is a full-size version of the OCD, which is...
Is it an Odd Box or is it ODD?
It's ODD, yes.
Okay,
but
thank
I just
you.
Said an Odd Box anyways.
Yes.
The Mutation Phaser,
yep,
which is almost a full-size. See, they were smart. They said, we don't want to make it a tiny one. It doesn't need to be huge.
Yes.
It's a fantastic size.
It's a mid-size.
That is the Mutation Phaser 2.
Like a Mutron.
Yep, and you'd recognize it if you saw it walking down the street. Then we have the Warm Drive, which is their version of the Zen Drive. And, we're not done.
No, there's more.
The Jet Phaser, full size. This is almost as big as a laptop computer. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. At least an iPad.
It's as big as my laptop.
Yeah, maybe.
So that is from it's the Jet Phaser.
The old Ibanez.
Yes. And last but not least, the Foxy Tone Box, full size.
Yeah.
That's also a deceivingly large pedal.
And it's fuzzy.
It's fuzzy.
I mean, literally.
Yes, and figuratively.
And orangey.
It is orange. So, that's a lot of shipping, everybody. And these pedals are big. So, we're going to...
So how
we're gonna have to have a bake sale to ship all this stuff.
Maybe if we...
That's why those guys are like, yeah, don't send it back. Yeah,
it costs too much. No, so we're going to do... Did you decide one per week?
Per week.
For the next...
Per Patreon supporter that we select.
Okay.
Randomly.
with through
our scientificness.
Yes, we do have a scientifically proven and effective sorting mechanism.
Yes, guaranteed no doubles.
Yep.
It's going to be great. I'm really excited about this. And so this is going to go for 7 weeks, probably starting next week, which would be this week, the time that this comes out.
Okay.
Something like that.
I love that.
Aki, are you following following along so far?
Yes.
Excellent. okay. So, hey, if you want to get in on this, if you want to have a chance at this, we're going to give you instructions at the end, but you can start out right now and just become a supporter on Patreon. We would greatly appreciate it. All right. That's what I got. Let's get on to what's going on in our music world this week. We're going to start off with the lovely pastrami prince of Youngstown.
I don't know if I'm not a big pastrami fan.
No?
No.
Well, then why'd they name that? Go.
I like gabagoo.
Then we're gonna check in with Ake.
Okay. Give me the gabagoo.
Yeah.
So this week, couple things. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about some of the late 50s, early 60s bikini-badged Epiphone guitars.
The thong badge?
Yes.
Okay.
As Todd likes to call it, the thong badge. But everyone else in the world calls it a bikini badge. So in this issue of Vintage Guitar Magazine, this would be the April 2024 issue, there is an outstanding, and I do mean outstanding, article on bikini-badged Epiphone amplifiers.
Are they redoing those?
No, these are the originals.
Okay.
And what's really cool about them,
they will redo them, though, won't they?
I don't know. Based
on what Gibson's been doing.
Possibly. So at the time
I'm stating that they will.
That Gibson bought Epiphone.
Yeah.
And they always treated Epiphone as kind of their junior brand and, you know, entry-level kinds of things.
Yes, which was ironic because actually Epiphone at the time was much bigger than Gibson.
That's not true.
Well, that's what you said.
No, that's not what I said.
I'm just quoting you, Tony. Keep going.
So anyhow, what's really cool about these amps, and there's this group that's collecting as many of as they can because they're actually pretty rare. At the time they came out, they were meant to be a lower-priced version, and almost internally, they're almost identical to all of the Gibson amps of the era. Mm-hmm. But externally, they used a different Tolex. They obviously had the bikini badge on them. But
same handle.
Same handle.
Same cool handle.
Yeah. But because they made so few of them, it's actually they're worth more in the vintage market because there's only handfuls of a few handful of them available. So maybe they will go ahead and reissue them. I mean, now that Gibson owns Mesa Boogie and that's who's actually building the new versions of the Gibson amps,
right?
Maybe they'll do that. That'd be kind of cool if they did a badged version, or dare I say, maybe
they would do it because they just re-released like all the bikini headstock.
Well,
guitars.
if yes, they did. If they were,
they'd be fools not to.
If they wanted to listen to my advice and using the model that they have used now with Epiphones being made overseas, perhaps they could make a lower cost version of these amps.
Yes.
Badge them this way.
Fairly certain. Make them in Sweden, right?
Yeah. Why not? Why not? So anyhow, but it. Check it out. I always recommend Vintage Guitar Magazine. It's one of my favorites. The other thing, and this just happened to me today, our friend Jared down in Nashville was at the Nashville Three Amigos show. I don't know if there's three of them.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of amigos. He had brought a bunch of his, he had like Marshall stacks and stuff, and he wanted to get rid of his cabinets. And this one guy bought a 412 bottom Marshall cabinet. And when they got to rolled it out, the guy was driving a Honda Del Sol. Now, for those of you who don't know,
girlfriend might have had one of those.
That is a two seater Honda that the roof pops off, thankfully.
Yeah. And that's the only way they would have got it in there.
Yeah, there's no other way. So Jared sent me a picture of his Marshall cabinet upside down inside of this red Honda Del Sol. I don't even know how this guy was able to drive. I had a Del Sol for a number of years, and there was not a lot of room. And I can't even imagine putting a 412 cabinet in there. But anyhow, maybe I'll...
That would be like putting Jared in the back of that.
It might be worse than putting Jared in the back of that.
Anyways.
But anyhow.
Hook it up.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess the guy got it home because he got an email or a text from Jared saying, hey, I made it. But yeah, well, maybe we should post this onto the user site because it's just absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, that's wild. Okay. What's going on in your music world?
I just bought an amp for the first time in many, many years.
Really? What'd you get?
I've been ampless for like a couple of years now. It's like every Superfuzz has been tested through like my 8-track.
Oh, wow.
I probably shouldn't say that, but if it sounds good at its worst, I feel like it's just going to sound better at, you know, in real things.
Yeah.
But I went to with my friend to, you know, Pat Kaufman over at, who repairs things, get amps for in Brooklyn. I went over to his place and he had this Gretsch 6150T.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Those,
yeah.
Those tiny little ones.
Yeah.
And like, I've been looking out for like, it's just the most beautiful little amp. And of course I didn't find one like that, that I could afford, but I found like a little small airline for a reasonable price. So I just bought that the other day. So we'll see when that shows up. I'm excited about that.
Nice.
Nice. Now, has that one been refurbished at all that you know, or?
No, it's still 2-prong and like probably going to kill me, but you know. it'll sound good.
Might I suggest you invest in a power strip of some sort that has a quick kickoff?
Yeah.
I might just head it over to Pat so he'll take a look.
You know,
at it.
And that's actually, and if Rob were here, he would say the exact same thing. Any amp that you buy, if you have a tech that you work with or know of one, just, you know, pay the bench fee. Have it checked out just to make sure there's not going to be anything there that'll kill you or that, you know, needs replaced or what have you. Because vintage amps.
It's called a death cap for a reason.
Yes. 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 But yeah, just I think that's a smart move, especially any vintage piece. And sometimes even modern day stuff, it's not a bad idea to have a tech just go through it just to make sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Faux show.
What about you, Todd?
Well, I wore my fingers out the other day because I was trying out this pedal that a company called Cosmodio sent me. And
oh yes,
it's called the Pet Yeti, and they're going to be on our show just real soon. I really was enjoying playing that. We'll get all into it later, but I'm just saying I had a heck of a great time playing that pedal.
A dab-a-doo time?
A dab-a-doo time. So there is, by the time you see this, there will be an unboxing of that, and you can check it, see what it looks like and everything.
Nice.
And, yeah, looking forward to talking to them on the show. And, yeah, it was pretty fun. Pretty fun. It feels good. Like, when you look down, you're like, my fingers can't actually fret any more strings because there's just string grooves in the fingers and they're all silver.
That's when you just put a little super glue in there and let it dry.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a good way to fix this.
Yes.
I know all the answers.
I know you do. All right.
So, Todd, you were trying out this pedal.
Yep.
All the other pedals that you have.
Yep. Like the, by the way, before you do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Where can people find the things that you're doing?
In some of the best music stores in the world and reverb.com and where else? Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay. And where can they find that online?
Reverb and an Instagram.
There you go.
At Stromer Mutronics.
Stromer.
Yes.
Yes.
And
very
I don't make
cool
bikes.
Stuff. We've been talking about these for last couple episodes. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
back to my
back to
original
your original
question.
Question.
Let's say you got a Super Fuzz sitting there in front.
You got
of
you. A Super Fuzz, sitting
and you
there.
Want to plug it into the rest of your pedal board.
I would love
board.
To plug it in.
How would you do that?
Well, I was just about to say I would plug him in via Tour Gear Designs patch cables.
Ah.
And that's actually what I did. I plugged them all in.
Really?
Yes. We have the Super Fuzz and also the Overdrive prototype that we're going to talk about. So I had to stitch those together. And fortunately, I've got my little box of Tour Gear Designs patch cables and was able to get that in there lickety-split.
You know what's cool?
Yes.
Is this this Super Fuzz has top mount jacks.
Exactly.
And if you had needed to go to a side mount jack,
I'm covered.
You are covered?
I'm covered because they got the you know, a 4-inch might not be long enough because this is a bigger pedal.
Yes.
But a 6-inch.
Yes.
Maybe a 4-inch might cut it. But for sure, a 6-inch.
Yes.
S shape will actually get that. They've got C shapes and S shapes, Tony. So I can go top to top.
Yes.
Or top to side or side to top. Or top to side.
That's really cool. And they come in all those
all the lengths.
Magical
from
lengths.
3 to 24 inches, I believe.
That's the crazy one.
Anyhow.
But.
Yep.
You know, if you go over to the Tour Gear Design website, which is tourgeardesigns.com.
Yes. We should tell Aki this.
Yes.
Aki, if you go there and you put all these things in your cart, you're going to save 15% when you type in the guitar knobs, all one word. 15%.
What? An extra 15%. Now, these are reasonably priced cables. They're rugged.
Beyond reasonable.
They've got a little teeny tiny end on them.
Yes.
That is probably the same size as like an output jack. And they're flat.
They are flat.
Did I mention that they're flat?
You usually do. Anyway, thank you to Tour Gear Designs Patch Cables for sponsoring our Four on the Floor. Tony?
Let me get a little bit of this.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. 4 on the floor.
Okay. What are the... that was bound to happen. What are your 4 on the floor?
All right. So, I rarely plug this many pedals in at once. I usually, like... I would have, like, 2 pedals usually, maybe, at most, probably. Okay. Like, I'm more like a straight into an amp kind of thing that... And I build pedals. It's I don't know what I do.
Yeah, it's a hilarious paradox that we deal with.
It's an irony.
Isn't life crazy?
Yes.
Anyway, so I'm going to start with something that's not on the floor, but it's in the guitar, and that's the Dan Armstrong Purple Peaker.
Oh.
I've gotten a little bit obsessed with these things. They're just – yeah, basically I like huge pedals and tiny pedals that aren't pedals. This one just sounds great. I don't know. It's just like you just leave it on. It sounds better.
Now, is this one of the vintage ones or is it a – because I know they reissued them a while back.
I've started – this is the only like thing I collect, I guess. So like I got into the ones that are made by Musictronics, mm-hmm. the Mutron people.
Yeah.
And it's got the little cute little logo on it.
Yeah.
I just love them. I've got all of them but the Red Ranger now.
Oh.
So if anybody's got one of those.
I'm sure someone does. And this, correct me if I'm wrong, but these are the ones that you plug right into your guitar. And then you plug your out, instead of your output jack, you plug into the effects unit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like I've tried plugging them all in at once because I almost did the 4 on the floor with just those. But
That would have been a cool 4 on the floor.
So what exactly, for those who don't know, to explain what that does?
It's like an EQ thing, I want to say. Like,
Is it a mid boost? I can't remember. It
barely boosts at all, actually. Like it just, I should know this. It just makes everything sound better.
Oh, well, that's okay.
There's like a high and there's a high low. So like, and then the off is in the middle. And, it's one of those things. It's just like, it's especially when you
high end presence and low end punch, it says.
Oh,
so so I guess it's a mid drop.
Yeah. Which is weird. Cause it says peaker, but I'm not sure if they're familiar with geography.
Well, no, if it's a bass boost and a high boost, then those are the peaks.
The bass version is called the Yellow Humper.
Yeah, but that would be in between. It'd be like two peaks.
Maybe they should have called it the Purple Valley.
There you go. No, that would be bad.
Well, why don't we just go back?
Yeah, let's just
take the time machine and let's go back to the 1960s when Dan Armstrong was developing these.
Yeah. So these are interesting though because it's a single jack.
Yes, but there's a jack that goes plugs into your guitar.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's just like it goes into your guitar instead of just on the floor.
Correct.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You can make a thing so you could put it on the floor, I think.
Yeah, you could put it into an enclosure.
Okay.
I don't see why not. I mean, it would work the same.
But don't. Yeah, leave it.
Put it on a thing. Don't mod the thing.
There you go. Yeah. Are those expensive these days?
They're too expensive, but they're not. I think one is like 200. I mean, you shouldn't pay more than $200 for it. So yes.
Okay. Got
but
it.
But like, so some of them are like the blue clipper is the one that seems to be very expensive, which it shouldn't because it doesn't sound very good, but it's interesting. It's like the distortion thing is just very, dark sounding and
right.
I don't know.
Lots of guys model their pedals off of like, oh, this is my take on the blue clipper or the, you know.
There's a lot of orange squeezers.
Orange squeezers. There's a lot of that out there.
A lot of that orange squeezer stuff. Okay, cool. What's number two?
Green. All right, since I messed up and sort of screwed up and thought it was pedals that I had to own, I realized I only own one distortion pedal that I didn't make. And I didn't buy it, and it's the Metalsohn.
Oh, interesting.
So that's what I have to put there because I don't like. And yeah, you can get like distortion sounds out of that, I guess. And I need one distortion at least, I guess. So Purple Peaker into the Metalsohn. We don't need to talk about that. And then from there, I go to the Deluxe Memory Man, which is just the greatest pedal of all time.
Okay,
It can do everything. It's like it's the best chorus. You can use it as a boost. I think it does echo too. Yeah, it's an incredible pedal.
Now, is that a vintage one?
I guess it's vintage. I mean, I bought it new 20 years ago. So
technically it's vintage.
It's got the cord.
20 years is the vintage mark, isn't it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it could be. I mean, but I think the original ones were
those are
out
much
in the
older.
80s probably.
Earlier than that.
Maybe 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is the one with the cord that you plug straight into the wall.
Of course it is.
I love it.
Yeah.
and the guy who designed it lives like less than a mile away from me. So
okay.
Cool.
So he's
so two
we've
two
talked
New Yorkers.
About him on the show before.
Yeah.
Because we tried to have him on the show. It didn't work out.
It didn't go well.
Oh. It didn't work out.
There were some technical difficulties.
You know, we'll just shake hands and say goodnight. we thought it'd be really interesting to talk to him because he created like most of those big box.
You know,
the Electric Mistress and all that stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, okay.
Every time I go by that building where he supposedly lives, I'm like, there he is. He's in there.
Oh, you should try to talk to him. you should just throw rocks at his window.
Yeah, tell him Todd from the Guitar Knob sent you.
Yeah.
We're on good terms.
I'll just stand outside with a boombox. I think that'll work.
Yeah.
I like it. Good idea. Okay.
And then, all right, the last one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go into the... And also, I'm bad with like the order. There's probably like a.
There's no order.
People are probably going to say, you can't put that before the thing.
No,
the thing.
We're not making a pedal board. We're just talking about pedals.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Then I have the last one is the Maestro, the even bigger pedal, the Maestro phase shifter, the PS1A.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't put that last. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. What's wrong with you, man?
It's just my friend Jimmy over at 30th Street Guitars. He was he wanted me to build a foot switch for his.
Yeah,
because they you can buy I guess a foot switch that you plug into the back with this weird Molex connector, and there weren't that many around. So I made one and then. So I could test it. I had to buy one. And it turns out it's the greatest pedal. It just sounds incredible. And it's, you know, the three settings, no knobs to, you know, screw everything up with.
Right.
Like, it just, yeah, it sounds incredible.
And that's 30 of the Street Guitars that's on 23rd, right?
Yeah. I mean, Rivington is on 4th Street. Like, don't, if you're a New York company, don't name your business after the street you're on. But they're the best. I mean, they're all the, like, yeah, these people are, have been very nice to me. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure if you bought one of those pedals, oh, yeah.
No, I didn't buy it from them.
Oh, okay.
Now, 30th is a cool shop. I mean, it's to me, it's a player's instrument guitar or a shop, you know, not museum pieces. Like, if you know, like Rudy's, that tends to be more of museum stuff.
Got it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Matt over at 30th is always been really cool about bringing in guitars that people can actually afford.
And he does repairs, like, you know. For, you know, he's just, they're just good people.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, that was an interesting Four on the Floor. I don't think we've had any.
I don't think we've had a Dan Armstrong.
Well, we've had the Metal Zone. We haven't had the Purple Peak. We haven't had the Maestro Phase Shifter, and we haven't had. Well, no, yeah, we've had.
I'm sure we've had Memory Man before.
Sure. Okay, so that's two. Still, that's two.
Okay.
All right.
Don't take my head off,
I won't. All right. Okay, we are going to get into what is all about Strummer pedals. And I should say Strummer. Sorry. Not Strummer, but Strummer.
It sounded exactly the same.
It's a subtlety. It's an international subtlety, Tony, that you just simply don't grasp.
Yeah.
All right. You came to New York, 10 years ago, I think you said?
Yeah, so 2013.
Right. Were you in search of better pedals or?
No, let's see, what? My wife is a textile designer, like print designer. So we met in Sweden, and then she was coming here to do like an internship. And I'd been here touring a lot over the years. So like I knew a good place we could stay at, and it was going to be for like a month and a half. And then
Chelsea
she got a job. Huh?
Anyways,
if you like roaches, come to New York City. No, it's just like so I'm in this neighborhood called Ditmas Park, which is like, it's mostly Victorian houses, like single family houses. It's weird. It's the first thing I saw in New York, and it's not what you think New York looks like. They film a lot of stuff here.
Where is it located?
So like it's south of everybody you know who lives in Brooklyn, but it's really in the middle.
Okay.
so right under Prospect Park.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, we were watching some shows. Like the last three shows we watched, we were like, oh, I know that house.
That's interesting.
So my friend has a house, rents half a house, and he's been there for a really long time. And he's got a studio in the basement, and it's like, and all the bands, like a lot of Scandinavian bands would stay there. You know, it's like a punk house in Brooklyn.
did he pick the half that has the kitchen or the bedrooms? never mind. Don't answer that. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but I am sorry. Anyways, cool. So you landed in Brooklyn. You said you were touring. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I was playing saxophone in a band because I met some people and they were like, if you learn, I had a saxophone and they were like, if you learn how to play that thing, because you obviously don't know how to play that, we're going to Brazil in a couple of months.
Oh.
Call me Deacon Blue.
So I had a summer to learn, and then I went to Brazil and toured with this band for a couple, like 5 years.
Maybe. Wow. What was the band?
It's called Love Is All, and they're based in Gothenburg, but our label was here, in New York City.
Okay.
We just played our first show in 9 years. Yeah, like a what were we? Like I keep saying like X-ray specs kind of thing, but I don't think that's really true. But like a saxophone, and yeah, I was listening to a lot of like James Chance, James Whiteley, you know, like weird stuff and like a lot of, you know, Raincoats kind of music.
Okay.
And we were probably just copying the Strokes anyway. I don't know. So it was, yeah. A lot of song ideas would be like, have you heard this new Strokes record?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. But yeah. And
then you didn't. That stopped.
Yeah, that's people had babies and started restaurants and stuff. And the band didn't happen very much. And then I had the opportunity to come here. And I did. And now it's been 10 years all of a sudden.
Wow. Wild. Now, that's a strange transition from playing saxophone in a band in Brazil to, hey, I'm making pedals. Help us get there.
Well, I made my first pedal in 96. Yeah. I wanted to get like a big muff because I read about them, you know, they didn't have them in the music stores. And then the green ones started showing up in stores in Gothenburg.
But
I couldn't afford one of those. And then my dad was like, and my grandfather all had like, you know, electronic hoarders and ham radio enthusiasts and whatever. My dad's built some really beautiful radios. So we just had a bunch of parts in the basement and even stuff that I later understood were germanium transistors and, you know, new old stock stuff that was probably, you know, very sought after. But my dad helped me download a schematic in like 96 of a big muff. And we built it somehow. I have no idea what version it was or anything. Like I still have it. And it sounds incredible. Because my dad built it. I need to take it apart and like figure out what it is. it sounds great. We couldn't find, there were no like stomp that the, you know, the normal stomp box stomp switches. So we had to like, you know, use a small little plastic thing and like, I couldn't find any good enclosures. So like, it's like some plastic enclosure it was originally. it was a thing. So we made that and it's like, I was just amazed how good it sounded.
Did you take to electronics really well?
No, I don't know. I didn't like, my dad's like, he still says like, you don't know what you're doing, but it's working.
Okay. We'll edit that part.
He's right. I just learn backwards all the time. Like I can't read a book and like, you know, I need, yeah. It's like being raised by TV. I think you just, attention span is not a thing or something, you know, it's not good.
Yeah.
But like 20 year or I guess it's 30 years in, I've started learning, so when we moved here, I started repairing more stuff. Like I started building more pedals myself in Sweden too, and started selling in some stores. And
are there a lot of pedal builders there, like boutique style?
I don't know. Actually, like there's a great store called These Go to 11 in Stockholm, and they were the first store I walked in and asked if they wanted to sell them, and they were like, this sounds cool. I was like, what? they're like, this is the best Super Fuzz I ever heard. What?
Might have been the only Super Fuzz they ever heard. Who knows? This is the best one of these ever.
No, it's just amazing. Like, that was kind of like, I didn't think I was, I mean, I never planned on this to be a serious thing, you know? Like,
yeah.
I found a Super Fuzz pedal that I liked, and then it got worth too much money. So I like, let's just make one.
Yeah.
You did
a fine job.
People like them. Yeah.
They're great. they really are. I personally find that a lot of the circuits that are based on like, you know, the old, all the Benders and Soul Sound stuff and everything. I don't know. It's just not always my thing, but, I very much enjoyed playing the one that you built. And it, I feel like, you know, maybe it's because you're testing it out of that that eight track, but it, it sounds great in front of a Marshall. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it surprisingly, like the pedal itself weighs almost nothing, but it's a, I guess it's like a medium footprint pedal. It's bigger than your normal size, but not so big that it's ridiculous. It's a cool big size, I would say. And yeah, so you have the, it's the bent aluminum clamshell kind of vibe, which makes it very light. But you also, typically when you see these pedals, they're like, there's nothing in here. You know, if you think of like a fuzz face, you open it up and you're like, where's the stuff? You know?
Well, that's all they needed.
Yeah. And but this one is actually quite a few more components than I expected in here.
It's a lot of stuff in there.
There is. There is.
Six transistors, like what is it? Like 11. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
Yes. I stopped math too. Don't worry about it.
I have the list somewhere.
Yeah. So tell us about like why the Superfuzz. This, by the way, actually, before you go to why Superfuzz, this is like your flagship pedal, right?
Yeah, like it's the one that started selling a lot.
Okay.
I was just making it, and like I really like huge pedals. Like I want the user experience to, yeah. You know, like I don't like tiny little knobs. I don't like, you know, like I want an cheap knobs, or you know, that like the feel is very important to me, and the look, like in my dad's basement there were like, just he had so much ham radio stuff, and it was just like I just used to go down and play with this, you know, all the knobs and the switches, and it's like you feel like you're in a spaceship. And I want to make more like that.
That's cool. We think you should too.
Yeah, I'm making a spaceship. I'm announcing it right now. Why the Superfuzz? I started making them and figuring out how to, you know, I ordered circuit boards. I wrote down a bunch of stuff so I could know the dates here. I ordered circuit board, like 50 circuit boards from some guy in Poland. That's what I found, how to make circuit, like my first professional circuit board. So he made 50. I got 54 from him in 2013.
That might be Tony's cousin.
Could be. What's his name?
I'll find him. They were great.
It's Steve, probably.
It is not Steve. Guarantee you. Maybe Stashu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I make those, and then the enclosures were different then. Then I used like a normal, you know, the bigger MXR style, whatever, you know, those things that I, and then I was playing around with bending aluminum and making, you know, something different.
Yeah. Well, what's cool about, I mean, the enclosure here, I mean, this is very much like, you know, it's reminiscent of.
It feels retro.
You know, the Electro Harmonix kind of look, kind of feel.
And you got the rocker switches. Super cool. I'm with you, man. I like, I think the first real guitar mod I ever did, and it probably sounds stupid, but I thought it was actually really cool, was on a Telecaster, the Telecaster Deluxe with the four knobs, and it had the toggle up on the upper horn, right? Mm-hmm. But the way I was playing, I kept flicking it, and I was like, this thing's driving me crazy. So I said, you know what I should do? I should put different kinds of switches in there. And I had the bright idea to do two rocker switches, one for each pickup. And if you have them both off, then it's a kill switch. Uh-huh. And it was really cool. I dug it. It honestly, not the most practical thing if you're like flipping around, but I wasn't flipping around. So I was like, whatever, this is cool. It's rocker switches.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the best. I accidentally bought like a bunch of them, and I didn't know how to make a square hole back then. So like I had to figure out, you know, I just
use a square drill bit. Duh.
It's going to save me so much time.
Damn, I need to get me one of those.
This is why I came to America.
The ingenuity is astounding.
I love it.
That's how they make you checkerboards too, right?
Yeah. Anyways.
Good one, Don.
Thanks. Every once in a while, you know?
Yeah, you get one. Once a year.
So I made them and then I started screen printing and I've, you know, got better and better and, you know, I mean, closer to what I was happy with. And then, this guy, Daniel, wrote to me and was like, he bought one and wanted me to send it. And I was like, if it shows up by Friday, it'll be on the show. And I didn't really know what he was talking about. But then I looked it up and it's like, he was going to be on the JHS show. They were starting it's this thing they call Totally Normal Behavior, I think was the first episode of that. And it was, he featured it on that and, the order started, you know, coming in.
Wow. Yeah. I can imagine anything that guy does is just like, sheesh. He's like Midas.
Yeah. They changed my life. I'm forever grateful. It's crazy. I was not, you know, there was no plan to start a pedal company or anything. Like because that'd be crazy. I just made pedals and when they started selling, I was able to make more.
Yeah.
So
you're
doing
like
good
all,
timing.
You're doing all the bending yourself still?
Now I have a place that does the bottoms are now like a thicker metal because I wanted to be a little bit heavier. I have a place they cut them and they cut the tops and the bottoms now, and then they bend the bottoms because I can't do that with my little Harbor Freight. There are also other companies that sell the metal brakes. So I just bend the tops now.
Okay.
Yeah. But I used to do like all the, after there was also like a Red Shawl did something, and then I had to make a ton of them. I had blisters from that, like what's it, the notcher. When the thing that makes the square hole, the square drill, I had to wear like triple gloves. So I'm glad I found a place that could like laser cut them now.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, it's a really smart looking box, and by smart, I just mean cool. I pulled that thing out of the box, I was like, ooh, because you're hitting all the things that I like in pedal aesthetic and touch and all that stuff too. So very, very neato. Now, Tony's, do you like the knobs on those?
I like the pots on them. They're very smooth.
Yes.
Smooth pots. Like smooth jazz. Smooth pots.
Smooth pots. Yes, jazz.
No, it's cool. Yeah.
So you you've been painting some of these enclosures as of late, yes?
Oh, don't tell anybody.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
I'll erase that. No, I won't.
No, it's I since it's just me, I can do whatever I want. You know, nobody's stopping me from doing stupid things. Mm-hmm. I'm just in my living room / kitchen / New York apartment. And I really shouldn't be spray painting in here. But sometimes I can't help myself. I want to try I want to see what it looks like if I do, a gold one or a print with the white ink instead of the black. And
how about a clear one?
One day.
Yes. I would like to special order an Argyle
I live on Argyle.
Oh, geez.
Should I tell?
No.
No, but like I've been thinking, like my friend has a in that studio over here. He's got a clear, those AKG reverbs from the 80s. He's got a plexiglass one.
Oh, wow.
Really?
From like the NAMM show in 82.
Oh, so it was like a demo unit or
yeah, it came. We show found unit. It in some music store upstate somewhere. And it's like it's in the flight case with the NAMM badge on it.
Oh, that is so cool.
So like we should make more things out of acrylic plastic.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if you're supposed to just like step on it, though. It'd be cool.
It's not, I use a lot of acrylics, and as long as you don't put too much screw pressure on them, they're actually pretty strong materials. But there's something about if you tighten a screw head into it, it just instantly wants to crack.
Couldn't you use some other kind of like connector? Like, does it have to be a screw? Can it just be like a...
No, I'm just saying. He was saying that he was concerned about the tensile strength.
Gotcha. Tensile strength, yes.
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 Yeah.
Okay, so you got the Super Fuzz. It sounds awesome. JHS said, this is awesome. Other people have said, this is awesome. People out there listening, it's awesome. You should get one.
Absolutely.
Go to Reverb and get one, and they are very reasonably priced.
Oh, yeah, the big test, by the way, was like it was when I sent one to Mark Arm from Mudhoney.
Oh, really?
And he dug it, so he used it on the last tour they did as like that's his Super Fuzz right now.
That's awesome.
So like nice. I feel like the high priest of Super Fuzz approves.
That was
like
yeah,
it was a big deal for me.
I dig it. Now you're making some other pedals. Let's talk about the one that you sent us. What?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That's like, I built one. I found it in one of my dad's old, like electronics magazines, like the schematic, sort of like a similar schematic. And I built it and it was just like way too loud and weird. Like, or I mean, I couldn't get any sense out of it. So like I didn't even think about it. And then I was like, maybe I should do something about what if I put a volume knob at the end? And then it was like, oh, this is actually really cool. It's an overdrive, I guess.
Do you want me to tell you about the pedal or?
Yes, please. That's why I sent it to you. I don't understand this thing. It's just great. But it can take care of the clipping on the top and the bottom, or like the... I had to look at the crest and the
peaks and valleys. I believe that's what you termed it.
Yeah, because you can't call it bottom and top because then people think it's an EQ and it's not.
Right.
Because I've been playing around with other. I really like overdrive pedals that don't have an EQ that just send through the whole. You know, you get like a full sound. There was like the I made a version of the Gaiatone Zoombox for a bit, and it's also like a really good overdrive pedal. You can get from nothing to like something, and it sounds great with keyboards and just everything. But then when I found this, and it does the same thing, where it's like it's still the full. It doesn't feel like it squishes it into a little narrow thing,
right?
But this can do like it can do. It can clip the peaks and the valleys of the waveform, and you get a lot of. You can really like. You know,
you can sculpt the actual distortion signal.
Yeah, it can go from nothing to a lot.
Yeah, well, we've actually talked about before because I've described, you know, in my layman's terms, not really understanding some things, and I remember on one show I can't remember who the guest was at. I was talking about trying to sculpt a distortion signal where I didn't want it as tall and as tight. And he's like, what? And I was trying to describe what I was seeing. And he's like, that's a trip. You're actually, you're seeing what the signal sounds like. That's how you're describing it. And I said, yeah, I don't know how else to do it. And what I was describing was, you know, the spread between the peaks and the size of the peaks and the size of the valleys and everything. And then you got a pedal that is actually addressing both of those things.
Yeah.
which creates a huge range of tone.
Yeah. Like I'm going to sound like a complete moron cause I am with this stuff, but like when I play around with it, like if you do the, just either the top or the bottoms of the waveform, you get a lot of more, you know, bottom, or like it does things, especially with different instruments. And it does something that I haven't, I mean, and I don't know very much about other pedal, like more modern pedals, what I'm like, there's probably something like this already, but I don't know. So that's kind of also why I've been sending it out to people, because
I'm not aware. Certainly, I'm not the authority on this or anything. However, we've had 60 interviews, and times that times four for four on the floors. And we haven't run across a pedal that does that.
Yeah.
So it's weird. We're not saying it doesn't exist, but we haven't seen it. And I think that's really cool, because, and especially without the tone. Now the tone thing is kind of important. There's loads of ways that you can shape your tone after a after your overdrive signal, but you're almost created a utility pedal, which is really interesting, because if you're running, I'm doing P90s into a Fender. Well, distortion into that versus, a Les Paul into a Marshall, those things are going to be like all over the place.
Yeah.
And to be able to sculpt that distortion signal exactly how you want it, even if you're like shifting, you're swapping out guitars, you don't have to, you can go, oh, I'm at 10 and 3 on the Peak and Valley. But when I switch to this one, I know I'm at like 1 and 9, I don't know. I'm making up dial positions, but it's just really a great idea. And I love the fact that you didn't have a tone. In fact, I think that's the first thing that I commented on when I told you that I had received the pedal and played it.
Yeah. No, because something last time I toured playing guitar in a band, we were opening for a band, and I was like, it's so nice when you don't have to mess with the headliners when they let you borrow their stuff, but like when you also don't have to mess with their settings on the amp.
Yeah.
So like I just plugged in an overdrive like this sort of, and like got my tone, and sound check was over. It was so quick. And I could just do that for because I knew she was going to use the same, because she was going to dial in the good sound. And then I just knew it was going to be the same as, yeah. Nice. So it was very good.
Do you have a name for that yet?
Like, I just seem like I've been calling it the wave shaping overdrive, but I feel like I don't want to make it too it's too complicated, because it's not complicated when you,
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm
the Alps. Call it the Alps.
Oh, here we go.
Peaks and valleys.
What's the valley then?
I don't know. Well, no, it's but within the Alps there are valleys. Yes, no.
Oh, there are both. They have both.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, those Swiss.
Yeah, there you go.
Swedes.
yeah, you'll figure something out. It'll be great.
Eventually.
Okay. Now, aside from that, you're into some other stuff. Are you constantly coming up with new ideas? Are you kind of set with your current stable?
I'm constantly in panic, following my whims. Like I just got a calendar almanac thing, so I can write down things so I can not freak out every morning. And I'm going to see if that works. Okay. I write down what I'm supposed to do. Like I'm making these electric bongos that are really popular.
Electric bongos?
Yeah. You know the song "I Can't Stand the Rain" with Ann Peebles?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what that is. and I made them for fun. And every now and then somebody wants them. And, they've ended up in a lot of producers' studio. Like, yeah, it's weird. So I got to make some of those. And then actually Jimmy over at 30th again, he sent me a picture of this the WEM Project V. You know this fuzz pedal? It's a very odd one. Supposedly the one used by Brian Eno for Here Come the Warm Jets.
Oh.
And it's the size of a chew box.
A great song. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, album there, but yeah. I was thinking of the... Eye of the camel.
Needle in the camel's eye.
Needle in the camel's eye. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. That's such a great song. People need to listen.
Incredible
to
record. Yeah. So he sent me like, can you make one of these? And I was like, okay. And I just like making enclosures. So I've ended up making these crazy shoe box sized things.
What was that pedal called again?
You know, the British company, Watkins, you know, WEM.
WEM. But the actual pedal, like what was it?
Project V?
Project V.
Yeah. Okay. 05. And it's, I've made one and it's crazy. And now we're going to see, I've got to order some parts. But I've made some enclosures for that and we'll see.
Wild. See if it, what does it do?
Crazy fuzz. Like it's, I've been getting some radio in it.
It's like a, it almost looks like a wah, but it's not.
Yeah. It's bigger than a wah. Yeah. But I've made mine a tiny bit smaller because I don't have to use the same weird batteries they
did. That is bananas.
I enjoyed the idea of, I like trying out different enclosure ideas and try to get some, learn something from it. And this one has it's plywood and metal. And the way the circuit board is mounted is pretty interesting. So I think I'm going to use that for something eventually.
It's so weird when you look at some of these old pedals, you're like the lengths that they went to make them the way they are kind of defies the idea of like how much actual industry cost was involved in making this bananas enclosure that you're going to sell this pedal for.
What's funny, this late 60s, I want to say, and there's so many of those things where they were going to, the next step was the guitar synthesizer, right?
Yeah.
That's what broke most companies. I think this was an idea. But I think this was part of an idea from a guitar synth they made. This weird guitar with some strange pickups.
I've never heard this pedal. We'll have to listen to it. Since then, there have been a handful of clones of that are out there. But I suspect you're going to, especially with the kind of styling you're doing right now, that would look pretty great, especially if you got some of those OG style console knobs. Those are super cool.
Oh yeah, actually, Chris
R2R.
Yeah. He sent me two knobs. I've got something similar that'll work, I think. But I guess for the one I have those knobs.
Wow, that's really really cool.
Yeah.
Now I guess the last one, maybe if we can just talk about real quick, is the Fuzzite.
Oh yeah. That was just I wanted to try to see if I could. I started to make an enclosure. I wonder if I could learn how to bend all four sides of an enclosure with my little setup that I have. And then I had the enclosure for probably a year or two. Actually, the second pedal I ever sold the first pedal I ever sold, I guess, in '96, I think was a Fuzzite. Of some kind again, internet 1996. I don't know what that was. I sold it to somebody. So I've always liked that circuit. And then I wanted to see if I could make the enclosure too. So I made a couple of those, maybe 10 of the what I think is the right big size. And then I made some smaller ones because I don't know why, but I wanted to see if I could, because the components in those things are very simple. So I wanted to see if it, worked. I got a couple, but I'm not going to make more. But the other one, the one I actually do make, I do this one I call the Jazz Fuzz.
Yes.
Because I enjoy, because I think, genre pedals are ridiculous. It's funny. If you want to play jazz.
Yes.
You need this one. It's like, I need a guitar for punk rock. Oh, you need a guitar.
Yes.
Anyway, so that one was from I do a lot of repairs for 30th Street and Rivington Guitars here. They send me stuff sometimes, and it's a great way to learn how things work and how they're get to touch pedals I could never afford. And they at 30th Street, Matt at 30th gave me Sonny Chirac's Big Muff. I don't know if you're familiar with Sonny Chirac, the jazz guitar player. Nope. He's incredible. You should, he played with Pharoah Sanders. He put out a record in, 91. I want to say that's like the, it's incredible. Like, yeah, it's yeah. Sonny Chirac, look him up. And as Matt was friends with him, and so I got to repair it, and it was like the biggest. It was a huge honor, and it just sounded really good. So I wrote down the you know the values on all the components, and made one or two, and somehow ended up in a studio in Nashville, and it's and or. They'd ended up in Nashville and they were like, this sounds really good. And they were telling their friends, and then I had to make a lot more. I mean, I still have it probably sold like 10 or 20 or something. I don't know. So I make that now. But yeah, no relation. I don't have it. I feel a little bit weird about it, but I've asked Matt and he seems fine with it. But I've, yeah. So I'm just going to call it Jazz Fuzz.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Yeah.
Well, very, very cool. So we'll keep on the lookout for some kind of semblance of a Project 5 maybe coming out. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, it's probably going to be 5 of them. So
aha.
We'll see. No, I don't know. Yeah, it'll show eventually. Okay. Probably at 30th Street.
Put me under speed dial. all right. Well, cool. Dude, thank you so much for going through all of these pedals and your ideas and just learning about who you are. And as we tell everybody that we are trying to get on the show, the purpose is to connect players with the people who are building this stuff. And it's so good to hear a voice and a personality and character that is attached to the things that we get to play, and you know that makes them more special. So I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, it's
we are going to dip into the wonderful world of Would You Rather.
Yes, it's a little game that we like to play.
Yeah, I gave the title away, but say it anyways.
You want me to say it or sing it?
Sing it, baby.
Would you rather?
Sing it, Sam.
Sing it, say. So, this week's Would You Rather is brought to us by our good friend, Bruce Bacon.
Brucey.
And just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Yes.
Professor Squeaky Bellows.
How is this
makes
possible?
Another appearance. Now, for those of you who don't know who Professor Squeaky Bellows is, he is a mad scientist who wants to rid the world of guitar-based music.
He's angry and crazy.
And he wants to replace it with accordion-based music.
Yes.
Which, as any true music aficionado would agree. This time, it's a little bit of a twist.
Ooh.
Because he's going to use the time machine so that you whisper into a certain guitar legend's ear.
Uh-huh.
Let me give you a little background. After the 1984 album, David Lee Roth and Van Halen parted ways.
Yes.
Sayonara.
Amiably. Oh, wait, no.
No. But before Sammy Hagar became their new singer, there was a time when Eddie was considering Daryl Hall.
Really?
Or Patti Smyth.
Oh, my.
To be the lead singer of Van Halen.
That can't be true.
I'm reading what Bruce wrote.
Well,
and I'm
Bruce
gonna,
isn't it? Bruce is an authority on
He is an authority.
Things.
So in this scenario,
Daryl Hall.
If you want to help the professor, you
he
have
was,
to.
Yeah, he was great in Splash. Anyways. So dumb. That's I got a twofer tonight.
You got a twofer. I'm all giggly. Must be the...
Yeah, anyways, the go ahead and hit that thing.
So in this scenario, you have the power to choose one of those two vocalists. You're going to whisper into Eddie's ear and say, hey, it's in your best interest to pick this guy or girl to be the new lead singer of Van Halen.
Okay.
Do you understand? Right? Do we have an understanding here? Yeah. Do you like your brother?
Yes.
You like him all in one piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, by choosing one of those localists, you will alter the time-space continuum and career trajectories of all of those involved. So, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you want to help the mad professor, you will pick the person who will destroy Van Halen as we know it. If you
is that
want
Sammy Hagar?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, exactly. So, Bruce goes on to say, I realize that this is a singer thing and not a guitar thing, but it does involve one of the most influential guitarists of all time. The vocalist would impact what key his music would be in and his approach to songwriting. Many, many layers to think about.
Oh, okay.
So the big question is, do you want to help Professor Squeaky Bellows destroy guitar-based music by plopping in one of those two singers?
Okay. Or do you want to not help him?
Or not help him.
Do you want to save or ruin
Van Halen?
Van Halen. But the idea is, if you help him, Squeaky Bellows is going to leave you alone.
Oh, thank God.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Okay, Tony, why don't you tell us what you're thinking, and then we'll check in with, okay.
Well, quite honestly, I am I'm getting tired of Squeaky Bellows bugging me.
Yes.
I mean, he's a dangerous cat. He's got a time machine.
Yes.
So I just want to put an end to it. I'm tired of guitar-based music. So I am going to have Daryl Hall become the new lead singer of Van Halen.
All right.
So, and the reason I say this, and I used to love, there was a Live at Daryl's Place. And Daryl
was. That was a good show.
It was a good show.
Yeah.
Recently, it's been not so good. I think Daryl is slipping a little bit.
Yeah.
And there is a certain genre of music that Daryl Hall sounds incredible. There was the Todd Rundgren one was perfect. Mm. They exchanged songs and they sounded great. But, you know, there's been a couple that, like, Daryl just is either he didn't dig the music that was, like, one of the guys from Squeeze was on.
Oh.
And
Jules Holland?
No, not Jules.
Oh.
No, Jules
well,
is
anyways,
a keyboard player.
Yeah.
But anyhow, and it just didn't sound good. So I'm thinking if you put Daryl Hall in Van Halen, it's going to just kill the band. Plain and simple.
Both of these people would kill the band. Okay, anyways, let's hear what Aki says.
Okay, so that's
this.
My choice.
All right.
I'm not too familiar with Patti Smyth. What's the hit?
What was the God, I can't think of the band.
Well, she was basically like the New Yorker, you know,
Smith.
Voice.
No, not Patti Smyth.
Yeah, not Smith.
Did you say Smyth? Patti Smyth.
It's Patti Smyth?
Yes.
Patti okay. Smyth and Van Halen. I want to see that.
That would be cool.
That would be a good
no.
band.
She was in...
I see the records, and I was all like, I remember seeing the records and being like, oh, it's not Patti Smyth.
Yeah, there was, right? No, it was, the band was Scandal.
Oh.
And, I mean.
Yeah, so he picked some pretty obscure stuff here.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not Smith?
But he
no,
hasn't.
Smythe. There's a Smythe.
Yes, but I'm not, I'm checking to see if Bruce Bacon sent Smith or Smythe.
It's S-M-Y-T-H-E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that to me would be Smythe.
That's the New Zealand spelling for Smith. Okay, it's Patti Smyth. So
it's,
Scandal.
It's Robert Smith is going to be the lead singer.
Yes.
Of
oh, now that would be really fun.
So which one are you taking? Okay.
The thing is, I think, like, I'm not a huge Van Halen fan or anything, but like, I think Eddie Van Halen could deal with it. I feel like he would need some, you know. I think I even want to put the accordion in the band. I want to see what he does with it.
Yeah.
He did great things on Thriller, right?
The Warrior, she sang The Warrior, which was,
oh,
that was
yeah,
a great
right.
song.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a, at the time, that was like a really big song.
So she could she would have
she could carry that vibe.
She could have the pipes to sing yes. Van Halen stuff.
Yes. So do you do you want to torpedo Van Halen with and have Dr. Squeaky Bellows leave you alone by choosing Daryl Hall
or make them great by
or make them great Patty. Yes, exactly.
I think I'd be more interested in hearing what Patti Smyth would sound like in that band.
Okay.
I'd be really interested to hear what Van Halen would sound like with an accordion.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to go with Patti Smyth as well.
Are you?
Yeah, because I don't care about Dr. Squeaky Bellows. Van Halen's, you know, Van Halen's Van Halen. So you want to do whatever you can to make sure.
Van Halen's got a Van Halen.
I know. They got to keep going. All right. So we've got two Patti Smyths and one Daryl Hall.
Yes.
Hold the onions.
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Bruce Bacon, for that one. That was a very creative one. And we appreciate you.
You know what's neat about things like this is you learn a little something.
Yeah.
I had no idea that Daryl Hall would even be in the running for Van Halen.
No.
Patti Smyth, maybe. I mean,
I wonder how true this is. This got me very intrigued.
We have to check. We will do a fact check, folks, yeah. And report next week.
There were a lot of parties back then.
Yes.
They probably met and were like, let's do this.
That lead spot to a lot of people.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Sammy Hagar one was just a bad
Luther
choice.
Vandross shows up. He's like, hey. Like, what are you? What?
That would
cocaine
be
cocaine is a hell of a drug. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. All right. Thank you. We need to thank a few people. Speaking of thanking.
Yes, we'd love to thank. That's what we're talking about.
Goodbye to.
Well, can we wait until I do this little part?
All right.
Because I'm sure that everyone wants to enjoy the thank you section.
Let's do it.
It's my favorite section.
Yes.
That's right, Todd, because at this point of the show, there's a special group of people we love to thank. These are our executive producers. Now, an executive producer makes this show possible. How do you become one? Very easy. Head over to pickguardian.com. No, go to patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Check out a couple different levels in which you can participate, become a friend, a sponsor, a hero of the podcast. Each level comes with some very nice thank you gifts, and we've got some pedals to give away, folks. And just by being an executive producer, you get entered into that pool. So do not hesitate. But as an executive producer, there's one thing more. Jared, what would that be?
You get to have your name read on the thing.
That's right. That's what I'm going to do right now. So special thanks to these executive producers. Vaderin Pedals, John Halverson, Rick Calhoun, Trevor Gunberg, Elad Mizrahi, Mike D., Richard Kendall, James White, Mo Tander Guitars, Bill Gola Guitars, John Esterly, Anthony Lathrop, Stefan Lamb, Michael Senchuk, Ken Sayers, Darren Gregory, Tom Brazen, Rusty Sneeden, Ralph Gottschalk, Don Kloss, Gregory Randall, Brett Hogarth, Eric Hemmer, Stuart George, Michael Verman, James Bell, James Romer, Cameron Pampas, Trevor Ellenberg, Christopher Logan, and John Sebastian.
Yes.
But wait, there's more because there's a special group of executive producers. We like to call them our grand poobas. They wear a fez upon their head whilst listening to the podcast and at the same time. So special thanks to these grand poobas: Tommy Manasco, Ricardo Igareda, David Kaminga, Brandon Wound Pickups, Hex Matos, Michio Murakishi, Bob Crouch, Jack Cadian, Sam Jett, Tyler K.C. Rines, LSJ Music Company, John Williams, James Pennington, Steve Keys, Cody Foster, Science of Sound, Brian Robison, Jonathan Jurisic, Corey Nigro, Michael Van Zant, Tim Nowak, Jonathan Daly, Martin Cliff, Sean S. David Poe, Billy Spitfire Unlimited, Congregation Gear Demos, Paul Von Eppinger, Scott Sullivan, Great Lakes Guitar Pickups, Matt Hart, Enrico Fernando, Moon Guitars, Adam Johnson, Eric Edwards, David Tindall, and Anthony Gemolero.
Yes, 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 y'all. Thank you so much for your support. It keeps this machine rolling, and we want to keep it rolling.
Yes.
So please, if you're thinking about it and you're like, man, I've listened to 300 some odd of these shows, I kind of feel like maybe I... You should. Just do it. We'd really appreciate it. And if not, just, you know, send us a would you rather for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
At bare minimum.
Yes.
If everybody did that, we'd be swimming in them.
Yes.
All right. We need to say a colossal thank you to Okay Strummer. Thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your story and making these mighty fine pedals.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for letting me talk too much.
Now, remind people where they can get these.
At reverb.com and in some of the finest music stores in the world.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And check out your Instagram at Stromer Mutronics, Stromer, for cool things that you're doing there. And let's see, Tony.
Yes.
Where can people find you?
Head over to pickguardian.com, check out some of the things I have available for purchase. But by and large, what I do is custom work, so shoot me an email. Let me know what you're trying to do, what you need, and I'll take good care of you.
You just did something for our friends at Maris. Did you not?
Yes, I'm working on a project. A special kind of reverse Jakey Lee kind of strat guard for
Wild, for Terry.
Yeah, for Terry.
Cool. Yes. You can shoot me an email, todd@theguitarknobs.com, but maybe even to get it there quicker, you can DM me on Instagram, @guitarknobs, and love to hear what you're up to, what you think of the show, what, I don't know, anything else, you know, what you had for breakfast. I don't care. send us your would-you-rathers, though, because those are mighty fine.
Yep.
And for Pete's sakes, listen to the Villantinos.
Oh, yes.
Whenever you're driving around and need to white knuckle a little bit, need some good driving music, do that. The Villantinos, anywhere that you can find your downloadable musics.
Yes.
We need to say ayo to, did I say it right?
Hey, Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
So good.
Oh, good. To our friend here and, thank you so much. We appreciate you being on the show. Have a fantastic week, everybody. And subscribe! No, don't do that. That's awful. Why would you do that? Bubbly waters.
I need a bubbly water, Todd.
I'm working on it. Hang on. And her grandma, wow.
They obviously had bad judgment.
She didn't realize that I didn't speak Swedish, so she just talked louder.
Oh, yeah. Well, that works.
It was hilarious. I think I'm still in the gift area under the glass at the amusement park. They had a thing called Scoot Jet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got a picture of me, and it looks like my face is falling off my damn skull. And the guy put it right underneath the glass. I'm like, what? He's like, oh. Every video he starts out, and he's talking into his phone. He's like, hi. Okay, so today we're going to do. And he just has such a great voice. Just says it and then he goes, okay, let's go. And then he goes and plays. He's great. I love it. Okay. Do you need to rethink this? Like, it shoots you into the air. Like, it's the same mechanism that they use on an aircraft carrier.
Wow.
And
it shoots you in the air.
It shoots you in the yeah. You're like on a chair, and you're like, somewhere. Hey, what's going on? And next thing you know, your face is still there, but your skeleton is shooting out the top of your body.
To put it in. Isn't that the greatest thing?
Oh. If it kind of felt like when you're mixing everything in the kitchen and just making something crazy, you know, like when you're just like, this is very indulgent.
Like salad.
yeah.
Help, we're on fire.
Yeah.
You'd better be ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to have to do that again.
If at any point in time you got to use the restroom, you got to get a drink of water, you're stuck, you hate us, whatever. Then we'll just do a little clap. Yeah. Oh,
the
shoot. Did I
the shoot the shoot up?
Is that what it's called? The shoot up? Is that
up and shoot?
Yeah, it's like up shoot jet or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Excuse you?
Uh huh. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Crazy. Or Irish soda bread.
What?
Are we trading recipes?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, anyways, what is it? We do a clean show.
Doo-doo.
Is that a word? Is that a word for you? Doo-doo? Well, we'll just leave it at that. And away we go.
Well, that's it for these knobs. Please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Visit our website at theguitarknobs.com for all of our past episodes, Four on the Floor blog, and other good stuff. You can connect with us on social too at our Facebook page and share your gear and stories on our Facebook group. Also, be sure to check out our Instagram at guitarknobs. Catch you next time.